Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
All right, campers. It's been a good week, right? Yeah. We're going to honor the King, Jesus the King, by talking about his word for just a few more minutes, and then we'll send you on your way. If you still have your Bibles, turn to Revelation 21. It's the very end of the Bible. We'll put the verses on the screen as well because I know a lot of you have them packed away. I want to share with you in closing this week, just briefly, a few things that we know about heaven. Here's the big idea. And as you're turning to Revelation 21, this is a good summary. We have a confident hope that our King will return after he has completed the place he is preparing for us. He will fully be present with us forever, destroy sin and death and the devil once and for all, and give us everlasting resurrection life. Let's read just four verses from Revelation 21. We're going to summarize three reasons why heaven is going to be great. And I hope that you'll find some encouragement in the fact that we serve a King who's going to return to take us to heaven someday. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Let's look at three reasons why heaven is so great. First of all, heaven is a beautiful city. It's new, it's pure, it's clean, it's beautiful, it's healthy, it's bright, it's full of joy and fulfillment. Now, in my mind, Miracle Camp is one of the most beautiful places on earth. You have the beauty of nature. You have the beauty of experiencing community with other believers. And it just seems like God is so present here. As you heard mentioned earlier by our worship team, God is present wherever you go. But there are special places you'll find in life and special times and occasions where it just feels like God was so close. It's a glimpse of heaven. Even Miracle Camp has got nothing on heaven. We learn from other places in Scripture that the streets are gold and the walls are jeweled. It's a feast for the senses. There's the river of life and a tree of life. Those images remind us that in heaven you have complete fulfillment and complete satisfaction. Jesus called it paradise. So, heaven is so great because, first of all, it's a beautiful city. Second of all, heaven is where God lives with us. So as we've talked about this week, in the Garden of Eden, God walked with Adam and Eve. There was no separation, no hindrance in the relationship between man and God. But after the fall, there was separation because of sin. In God's grace, he continued to be present with his people, the Israelites, through fire and through a cloud. And then, as we know, Jesus came, God in flesh, fully God and fully man, in order to intercede for us, in order to reconcile us and make peace between us and God through his death on the cross. We've talked about how after Jesus went back up to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit, the power and the presence of God. Those who believe in Jesus receive that gift. even though you are leaving this place today, you're not going home alone. If you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, you have a friend and a comforter and a guide and a helper in the Holy Spirit who resides in you. But that's just a foretaste. In heaven, you will have complete community with God Himself. You might have some difficult things that you're going back to at home, when you go back to school this fall, when you go to basketball camp next week. There might be some challenges to your faith. There might be some hard issues to deal with. I want you to remember that God goes with you. The Holy Spirit travels home with you. So, number one, heaven is a great place because it's a beautiful city. Number two, heaven is a great place because it's where God lives with us. And number three, in heaven, there will be no more tears, death, or pain. Let me reread verse 4 to you. It's so special. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Those former things are the results of sin. And in heaven, because there's no sin, there's none of those results. There's no more death. There's no more tears. There's no more pain. I want you to know that heaven is a wonderful place. That's why Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, that to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Like, it would be better just to skip the rest and head up to heaven right now. I know you have things that you're looking forward to in this life, but the things that you have to look forward to in heaven far surpass them. Some of you have asked your counselors, from what I hear, how can I know I'm going to heaven someday? How can I be sure? That's a really good question, a challenging question. The verse I usually go back to with students when they ask that question to me at my school is that it says very clearly in Acts chapter 16, verse 31, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. If you've declared, I believe in Jesus, your destination is heaven. You're one of His children. He's your Father. That's a permanent relationship that's based on His unconditional love. You're not saved by your works. If it were on your works, you would have no hope because none of us can measure up to God's holy and perfect standard. You're saved by grace through faith. You receive it as a gift. Earlier in Philippians, we don't have this verse on the screen, but Paul also writes that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. If God's been working in your heart, if God has opened your eyes to the truth of His word and who Jesus is as King, if God's been working in your life, He's going to continue doing it. Now, it is a cooperative process. In Philippians 3, Paul talks about how we need to strive to grow, how we run to win the prize. We need to continue to grow in our faith. We need to obey His word. We need to share His love and tell His gospel to others. But you weren't saved by works. You're saved by faith. And the work that He started in you, some of you for the first time this week, He's going to finish it. He's going to, as one of His children, He's going to continue your growth process. But back to Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. To die is gain. Paul had a hard life after he became a Christian. He faced all kinds of difficulties. Some of you have some difficult things that you'll wrestle with in the coming year. it would be great gain to just skip the rest and go to heaven right now. But in the meantime, what's that first phrase? To live is Christ. We give the rest of our days here on this earth to serve Christ. Right now, your job is to live for Him. Jesus hasn't returned yet, but He will. But right now, in the meantime, we're His servants in the world. He gave His life for you. Won't you give the rest of your life here on earth back to Him? Someday, our King will return. At that time, His children, past and present, will join Him in heaven, and it will be a wonderful place because it's a beautiful city, because God dwells with us there, and in that place, there are no more death or tears or pain. But that time has not yet come. So live for Christ. Make sure that He's supreme in your life. As we talked about last night, He deserves to be first. And in reality, He is first. In the end, everybody's going to understand that He is King. You're wise in the meantime, right now, to acknowledge that daily and to look to Him as your leader and as your Savior. Make sure that He's supreme in your life. Make sure that you're obeying Him and not listening to the voices that tell otherwise. Also, make sure that you're holding on to hope. Hope means that you're eagerly expecting something better in the future. You have a lot to look forward to in heaven, but you also have a lot to look forward to with Christ working in your life here on earth. When you go home, I hope that you continue to study His Word like we've been doing here. We've done it alone here, and we've done it together here. Let's continue those practices. I want to show you a verse from Romans chapter 15 that says, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." When you dig into God's Word, when you eat His Word, when you study His Word, when you talk about His Word, when you think and meditate on His Word, your eyes are focused on the hope that you have because Jesus is King. Now, you might be looking at the Bible and thinking, where would I start? Well, let me give you three different options on what to read when you get home, or maybe even on the way home. If you want the two-chapter plan, go to Romans chapter 8 and Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 12. The whole book of Romans is incredible, but those two chapters in particular will focus your mind and your heart on who you are because of what Jesus did for you and how your faith should translate into your everyday life. Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 12, at the very least. If you want the four-chapter plan, go to Philippians. Read Philippians next week. That will be a great way to reinforce a lot of the messages that we read this week. If you want a little bit more, I encourage you, go to the Gospel of Matthew. You'll read Jesus' teachings. You'll find out what the kingdom He brought is like. You'll see Him perform miracles. You'll focus on His suffering and sacrifice for you when He died on the cross and rose from the dead. Hold on to hope by reading His Word on your own and by continuing to go to church and youth group and other places where His Word is communicated. Finally, remember you don't walk alone. I've already said it. But if you believe in Jesus, you don't walk alone. It's so wonderful. Jesus told His disciples that He would not leave them as orphans, meaning He doesn't just do a work in our hearts and then leave us on our own, isolated, to try to figure out our way. We have the Holy Spirit. Remember that you don't walk alone. And when you struggle, and when it's difficult at home, or when school starts this fall, remember that He promises to be with you. He said, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Let's close by just taking a few moments to pray individually, and then I'll say a prayer to close. Let's close by thanking God for all of His blessings this week. I just want you on your own, every head bowed. Let's focus our hearts and our minds on the Lord. And just silently in your heart, I want you to pray. And specifically, I want you to just to thank God for the incredible blessings that you've experienced this week. Let's do that.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into Scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.